I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am Mike Catron, your guest host for this evening. And tonight, joining me, one of the originators of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, Kyle McCown.
Yo, what up, Mike? My name is Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. Mike, where can people find you?
People can find me at Twitter, on Twitter at Watch the Boxes, spelled exactly how you think it's spelled, or one where occasionally I write stuff.
Very cool. Very cool.
Absolutely. I got a quick question for you. I heard the story about the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast name, that the name was yours, that like that was your idea.
Yeah, I guess we kind of spitballed a bunch of them, but here's the thing. I guess what aspect of it do you want to know?
The aspect of it is that it is a very straightforward name for a daily fantasy basketball podcast.
Okay. What's more important than, okay, if you're going to produce something that you want people to watch, then you say, okay, how are people going to find this product that we're putting out there, or this whatever, this podcast?
Yeah.
Well, if people are looking for a daily fantasy basketball podcast and you want them to find yours, why would you call it the off the net, off the rim, or the, you know, the rim
dropping
job podcast?
Trays, yeah. Podcast.
Triple threat podcast. Nah, man, it's the daily fantasy basketball podcast, because now when people type in daily fantasy basketball podcast, which is a very generic set of words but very pointed in what you're looking for, the top option on Google now, because of the awesome work of Luke, who helped set up the SEO for the site, now when you type in daily fantasy basketball podcast, it go like the first option on Google is dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com.
So you're gaming the Google system, is basically. That was your idea.
Yes. What?
That's a good idea.
And I can't believe this is interesting to anybody.
Okay, neither can I. But I kind of wanted to call you out on calling it the most straightforward podcast name ever in the history of podcasts. Unless there's a podcast called Podcast. Then maybe that's more straightforward.
The first fantasy basketball podcast I created was called the Fantasy Basketball Podcast. So when I left RotoWire and left that podcast and I needed to create a new one, I said, well, how can I create one that's just as genius as that one? And I said, daily.
Boom.
Wow.
That was a stroke of genius, I guess.
Thank you. Let's talk some basketball. Come on.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's go to some box scores. And there's also some news out there, and we'll probably touch on some of the news.
We'll touch on all the news. We can't help but share all the news.
We might get off the rails. There might be some late Star Trek Generation talk, just like the last episode. Hopefully it might not go that long. That was a long one. I think that was the record length.
Set phasers to I'd be stunned if we don't end up talking about Star Trek Next Generation a little bit during this podcast.
That joke was a number two, which is not what Riker's called. He's called number one. Damn it.
Riker is the best. Okay, let's get into these box scores. We started off with that Portland-Cleveland game, right?
Yeah, let's start Portland-Cleveland. Let's go right into it. Let's see. Tonight, pretty good game, Portland-Cleveland. Looking at the box scores, there's a couple things that stand out. Obviously, Lillard and McCollum are doing their let's shoot a bunch of shots thing. But one of the, I guess, more disappointing things on the Portland team is everyone else on the Portland team. Is there any guys out there? So I guess some fringe guys would be like Myers Leonard, Al-Farouq Aminu, some people are interested in Plumlee, Noah Vonleh. Any of those guys rising or falling in value based on this game or the last week or so of their production?
I don't know if I can stomach holding on to Myers Leonard in standard leagues anymore. Even 14 team leagues, probably. I'm probably just going to jettison him. He played 16 minutes against Cleveland. I just don't know that as long as he's coming off the bench that he's going to be adequate enough for standard or – and we just don't know when it's going to turn around. I don't know if I'm willing to wait, because the main thing with Myers Leonard that has made me very scared here in during the season as far as him actually meeting the kind of value that we projected him to make early during the preseason is that I don't know if Myers Leonard can play defense well enough to stay on the court long enough to become good enough in fantasy.
And it's a little surprising in this game. All he had to do was hang around Kevin Love, and Kevin Love's usually hanging around the three-point line, though only Kevin Love only took one three-pointer tonight, so maybe he was exploiting Myers Leonard, and that's why he sat. But Leonard got a slow start.
He might have been matched up with Richard Jefferson off the bench or Tristan Thompson a little bit too, depending on what kind of lineup Cleveland had out there, because Timofey Mozgov, who was still starting at center to begin this game, he ended up only playing 7 minutes, and they didn't even start him in the second half. They started Jared Cunningham in the second half, who's a shooting guard.
Yeah, Mozgov is terrible. I do not like that guy at all. As shown in his great box score of all zeros and 7 minutes, he played a few minutes in a game, maybe 8 or 9 minutes in a game before, and had like 4 turnovers. So this is actually an improvement for Mozgov tonight. He obviously doesn't fit their system. He obviously doesn't fit with Love and LeBron. I don't know why he's starting and playing 7 minutes. Like, what's the point?
Mozgov said that he's not happy this season. I don't think he likes that he's played limited minutes most games, that he doesn't ever play in the fourth quarter. And I don't know if that means that Mozgov's getting to the point that he's trying to kind of curmudgeon his way out of town, or if he's trying to curmudgeon his way into a better role. I don't really know exactly what is going on there. Maybe he thinks if he can get himself demoted to the bench that, well, they're letting other bench players play in the fourth quarter, so maybe they'll let me now. But you're right. He's a dumpster fire right now and for fantasy, so you're not going to be using him anywhere.
But him sitting out doesn't seem to have improved anyone else's fantasy value. Tristan Thompson is a guy who gets, you know, $10 million a rebound and doesn't do anything else. Anderson Varejão hasn't looked like he can still play in the NBA at all this year. Richard Jefferson is surprisingly still playing in the NBA this year and appears and disappears very quickly.
Jared Cunningham, who started the second half, he did play 35 minutes. He played 32 minutes in their last game. So when you see those big minutes, you do start to think, okay, can this guy be useful? But if you go back and you look at what Jared Cunningham has done in his D-League time over the last couple of years, Mike and I were looking at this before we started the podcast, and there's just not a lot to like there, especially when you factor in the situation that he's in there on Cleveland. He would be the last in the pecking order. Really, Jared Cunningham ended up playing those 35 minutes this game and 32 minutes the last game because he's been coming on. He's been playing good perimeter defense and helping out there. They're not asking him to do a lot scoring-wise and the like, and they're probably not going to, especially because it's starting to sound like Kyrie Irving and Amon Shumpert, who have now gone through, I think, 2 full practices each, it's looking like they might be returning sometime this week.
Yeah, that's really good news if you've been stashing Kyrie. You expected him probably to come after. Sources had said after the new year, but a lot of people said that's, you know, way too generous. It'll be earlier than that. And looks like the people who said they were just trying to throw some shade on the people who were hoping Kyrie wouldn't come back until the new year, that he's going to be back in December. That really negates everyone else's value. If Shumpert and Kyrie come back, Mo Williams drops off, JR drops off, probably enough to fall out of standard league value unless he's hot. And I think that's where JR is anyway. He's a, if he gets streaky, he gets hot, he should be on a team. And then when he falls off, you should drop him.
I don't know for deeper leagues. I don't know which of the two and Matthew Dellavedova and Mo Williams, which one of those guys is going to be the actual backup point guard.
You would hope Mo Williams, right? Dellavedova.
No, I think it's going to be Dellavedova, except the fact that Dellavedova recently took over the starting job and they recently moved Mo Williams into the backup role, it makes me think that, well, maybe they're putting Mo Williams there because that's where he's going to play, and they're just using Dellavedova kind of the way that we used to see Corey Joseph get used for the Spurs, or I'm sorry, you know how they would take the third string guy, put him into the starting lineup so as not to disrupt the bench. I wonder if they're getting Mo Williams kind of settled into the bench role that he'll have. So yeah. But what I guess the main point being there is that we don't know who really is going to end up with the backup role, because you're not going to see David Blatt playing 12 guys a night. He's not going to do it.
No, that rotation will get shorter as the year goes on until LeBron takes his usual 2-week break. But then it's just going to be the Kyrie, LeBron, Kevin Love show. Do you think Kevin Love's value decreases once Kyrie comes back? That's a lot less touches.
So Love only played 30 minutes on Tuesday, and that was because he came into the game with an illness. I believe he missed shoot around with the illness, but they said he was probable the whole time. So I think that's why he played somewhat limited minutes in this game. You know what? They've been using Kevin Love differently. I think he's going to be better than he was last year, but there's going to be a drop-off if Kyrie comes back and is being same old Kyrie. Because the ball's going to be LeBron, Kyrie, LeBron, Kyrie. That's the game right there. Kevin Love's the third option in that situation, not the second option like he is right now.
Yeah, so when, I mean, Kyrie, I doubt, has learned, spent his time injured, recovering from injury, learning how to pass. So Kevin Love.
Kyrie's a good passer.
He is a good passer when he chooses to pass, but he's not. He rarely chooses to pass until LeBron reams him out on national television. He had a couple games where he didn't even get an assist. He's the point guard.
I think Kyrie is the closest thing you have to Steph Curry, who's not Steph Curry, except Kyrie hasn't actually gotten healthy.
Yeah.
Like, if there's one player who could be that Steph Curry type player, it's Kyrie.
Steph Curry of last year, I don't think we can compare Steph Curry of this year to any living
mortals,
or deceased player. But on average, no, let's see. On per game value, so on averages, Love is ranked 25th. I think this might be his ceiling for the year. Once those touches kind of reduce because Kyrie's back in the lineup, I don't think he drops too far, but top out of the top 30 for sure. Though he is getting some good rebounds still, so that's an improvement over last year. Anything else in this box score that shouts out to you?
I'm trying to decide whether or not to suggest that people should sell high on Kevin Love.
I don't think you're going to regret selling high on Kevin Love.
But the thing, you know, how hard can it really be that hard to get him? Because he hasn't taken that big of an increase in usage.
No. Ah. And that's a hard skill set to replace.
And if he's just more bought in now that he's on a long-term contract, maybe this is just who he can be. Because 18 points, 11 rebounds, that's just if he's getting enough minutes and he's out there for that. Although the thing is, playing with a guy like with a Kyrie Irving, you're going to have less rebounds because he's going to make his shots. You might not be able to get 2.8 offensive rebounds per game. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be necessarily worried about Kevin Love. If his production fits your team well, he's playing good. And even looking back at last year's stats, I mean, whatever. He was very good. People just maybe expected too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't go out of my way to move him, but I would think about it. I mean, certainly consider moving him for someone in that range. of players.
I mean, dude, if you can get Kristaps Porzingis for Kevin Love, yeah, go do that.
Oh yeah,
because Porzingis's ceiling is higher than Kevin Love's this year, due to the situation that Porzingis is in, where he can do whatever he wants because he's amazing.
He's almost the primary option on that team.
That, and he's had a 6-block game, a 7-block game. He's had like 2-3 steal games, I believe, earlier in the season. He hasn't done that again, probably because people found him out
just as well as Love from behind the arc.
He's been shooting like dang near 50% from 3-point, or he's been shooting like 43% or something really well from 3-point over the last like couple of weeks.
It's frightening.
Yeah, Kristaps Porzingis, man. Oof. Anyways. Anything else from this Portland-Cleveland game? And want to move on to that Golden State blowout of the Indiana Pacers that everybody was hyping out. I guess it ended up being an 8-point game. That's
misleading. That is very misleading.
Why? Because they left Paul George in the fourth and allowed him to play against backups and stuff like that?
Yeah, because Paul George played 36 minutes. And I guess Steph Curry did play 36 minutes. Klay Thompson played 34. But
it's an 8-point game, though. I mean, that's like...
Indiana scored 40 in the fourth. Golden State scored 20 in the fourth. I feel
it's not like Golden State's backups suck, you know.
No,
I mean, and I'm not even. I mean, how much did they? I mean, the backups they played: Festus Ezeli 18 minutes, and Sean Livingston 22 minutes, and Ian Clark 12 minutes. Like Iguodala 33 minutes. It's not like they were playing, you know, James Michael McAdoo and Jason Thompson, for crying out loud.
Fair enough. Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I get it though. Here's the thing. I just made a bunch of conjecture. Right. Exactly. I agree. I totally get that.
Yeah,
but
they took the foot off the gas.
It's still hard to score 40 points. It's still hard to score 40 points in a quarter.
Absolutely.
We were talking about this. Now, I don't know if you agree with me at all. This is largely conjecture, but I think Paul George playing 36 minutes in a game that was a blowout, you know, they were down 28 points going into the fourth. Having Paul George play 36 minutes in a blowout, I think that's in some way related to the fact that he is trying to win an MVP this year. And I think having a president in Larry Bird who would go to the coach and say, hey, look, this is important. You need to do this, and allow him to kind of try to win this award. I also think Vogel just gets it too. I don't think you need to really politic him, but I think that's potentially it insulates Paul George, him trying to win the MVP. It insulates his fantasy value.
I don't know. I kind of disagree that he's trying to win an MVP. Basketball knows the MVP might be already wrapped up. And obviously,
I mean, he said before the season several times that he's trying to win the MVP. So,
yeah, he's not going to. But if that's his mode, if that's what he's basically bought into, or if that's maybe what they've had to concede for him to play the four, and they're like, yeah, you can play 36 minutes. You go out and try to get that MVP.
Look at that Pacers team.
He's doing great stuff. He's killing it right now.
Yeah, he's doing right now what James Harden did with that crappy Rockets team last year. In a lesser
It's very similar. You're right. It's a very similar situation.
Because the rest of that Pacers team is god awful.
Yeah,
and Jan Mahinmi starting, and then CJ Miles, George Hill, Monte Ellis is playing like their eighth best player instead of the second best player that he actually is, talent wise.
Is that surprising to you, Monta Ellis's fall off? And is that just him in a new system? Or do you think this is what he is now?
I don't know. He's not very talkative. So we're not getting a lot of information out of him. And I don't think you're going to get a good understanding of. I don't know if he's unhappy there.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but he played 38 minutes. It's not like he's not getting run, you know. Monte Ellis, that is.
Well, the system isn't built around him. When he went to Dallas, they built the pick and rolls around his ability to run those pick and rolls. There's no one to run pick and rolls with, unless you're going to run those pick and rolls with Paul George, which would be really nice. I don't know why they don't do that occasionally. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of Indiana Pacers basketball, so maybe they do. But you don't want Paul George beat up on picks all day.
Yeah, he's just not touching the ball probably nearly as much as whatever.
Not when Paul George is taking 27 shots.
I didn't. You know what? I have a hard time caring about Monte's value this year because I don't have any stock in him in any leagues. But
well, his stock is down. And so I'm not sure it's going to come back.
I don't know if Paul George were to get injured, maybe Monte just kind of takes up the mantle. Although George Hill had a really good stretch last year too. Regardless, whatever, this Pacers team is pretty damn boring to talk about besides Paul George. Don't buy into the 12 points and 7 rebounds out of Chase Buttinger in 18 minutes. He's not good.
No, I know people like white guys with names like Chase Buttinger on their team.
And I think everybody pick him should up. Sell high on CJ Miles. He's going to either get injured or people are going to realize that he's
streaky.
Three pointers and points. That's it, man. That's all he gives you. And I'm not saying that that's not usable, especially when he's doing it in bulk like he is with the several three pointers in a given night, 8, 5. So on and so forth, but
his skill set fits that system, though. I mean, all he does, but that skill set fits the system that they're running.
He came out at the beginning of the year averaging like 1.7 steals per game for the first like 10 games, and it put him so high in the rankings. And now he hasn't gotten a steal diddly squat in the last 10 games, so it was good to see that regression of the mean. Not much else to really talk about from that game.
Yeah, CJ Miles, last 2 years averaged a little under a steal a game. That's about where he's going to be.
Yep.
Playing those types of minutes. Looking at Golden State, Brandon Rush got the start. I guess if you're in deeper leagues, that might interest you, I guess.
Yeah, maybe for the next week for streaming options, because Harrison Barnes is unlikely to be back until next Wednesday at the earliest.
Yeah, other than that, Golden State's just doing Golden State stuff.
Yep. What about this Houston Rockets versus Brooklyn game? Probably the biggest thing that happened in the game was Trevor Ariza took a hard fall, ended up having a sore lower back or a bruise there. And they've got a back-to-back on Wednesday, the Rockets do. So Ariza may not play then. And we saw Corey Brewer get 34 minutes and Marcus Thornton get 26. Do either of those guys interest you at even just for daily game usage?
Marcus Thornton does. We saw at the beginning of this year when with T. Jones out, Terrence Jones, that Marcus Thornton for some reason took the Terrence Jones's role in the starting lineup, and he's still got it apparently. He went off during the beginning of the season, and while I don't think he can go off tonight when he played 26 minutes, he had 32 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. So if he's the one who's earning the Trevor Ariza minutes, he's now once again standard fantasy league value for sure. I'd pick him up as a flyer in basically any league.
I think Marcus Thornton will still come off the bench, though. Who the hell did they – they had to have started Corey Brewer in the second half. I need to go. Now I feel dumb. I should have checked this before I started talking about it.
Corey Brewer had a nice night, 22 points, 3 steals, 2 assists, 3 rebounds.
Those really crazy – Corey Brewer's the original Will Barton, man. So,
ouch.
Why is that an ouch?
Ouch. Just,
Brewer started in the second half.
You and Mark throw shade at Will Barton all the time.
He's just not in a place for a consistent role right now.
I'm fully on the Will Barton train, and we can get into that.
No, he's good. I like Will Barton. I think that, but he's a hustle player, and hustle players. I don't trust that is he still shooting like 40% from 3-point land? Cause I don't think that was ever real.
Yeah. That's not going to obviously last. Corey Brewer, like you're saying, will have a 22 point night and he'll have a 4 point night the next night. that consistency to be to do other things than those hustle stats isn't there. Would you pick up Brewer or would you pick up Marcus Thornton? Let's say minutes are the same. They get played the same amount over the next week.
Minutes are the same?
Yeah, let's just say they're both playing like 28 minutes.
I would trust Thornton to have more consistent bust out potential at that time. Just because he would give you those bulk 3-point nights. I think you're more likely to get duds out of Corey Brewer. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. Corey Brewer started tonight, played more minutes. And if you're reading those tea leaves, it looks like Corey Brewer is going to have the first chance to get into the starting lineup. And we've seen him go out and use his frantic athleticism to score 51 points in a night. So, I mean, you're right.
That's true, but he'll play 26 minutes and score 5 points and have 1-3 and 5 rebounds. He's always going to give you steals. I wouldn't worry about his steal. His steal production is where his value is.
But you're talking about Marcus Thornton like he's not almost just as likely to put up a dud.
I think he's less likely to put up a dud than Corey Brewer, and given if they played the same amount of minutes.
Corey Brewer is a small forward, and that's going to allow him. Sense. Right. And the only way that they have to essentially go smaller to use Marcus Thornton more minutes, and they have to choose not to use Jason Terry. They have to choose not to use Patrick Beverley probably during those minutes. Like there's more roadblocks for Marcus Thornton on a given night.
And maybe I need to look at that beginning of the season where they were heavily using Marcus Thornton and remember they lost a ton of games during that time.
And it was a different coach too.
That too. So maybe Corey Brewer does get the hat tip, but I think Marcus Thornton's the better fantasy value, has the potential for better fantasy value over the next week than Corey Brewer. I'm putting my money on.
I would say Thornton's floor is maybe higher, but Brewer's ceiling. Ugh, sugar plums.
So, yeah, like this would be maybe a good time. This would be a good no halftime. It doesn't matter.
You're right. This would probably be a good no halftime bet. Do you want to read that?
Yeah, I'll throw this promo in there. So, like we were talking about, the No Halftime app is an app that allows you to challenge one player against another player of not on his if you would like to challenge somebody, one player versus one player on a daily fantasy basis. Not a lot of other apps. I don't think any other app allows you to do that. The No Halftime app actually allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you can take Corey Brewer and pit him against my Marcus Thornton. Which might be actually a pretty good bet over the next couple weeks. Creating a challenge takes seconds, and accepting challenges is even easier. It's almost like you swipe left if you don't like it, you swipe right if you do like it. You can actually challenge individual people privately, so you can challenge your friends.
It's the Tinder of fantasy sports. You can even end up dating at the end of it, too.
Yeah, challenge a person enough times, you might develop a very serious relationship and you might fall in love, and then they might make a commercial about how two people fell in love over the No Halftime app. They also don't just do NBA, but they do NFL, MLB, NHL, college football, college basketball, and other sports. Join today and you can get started making real money. And if you visit nohalftime.com for more information, you can find out how to download the app, or you can just go to your iPhone and go to the iTunes store and download the No Halftime app directly. And this is very important. If you use the promo code BBALL, B-B-A-L-L, at your signup, you will receive a $25 bonus. So I believe, directly related to this podcast, use the promo code BBALL, B-B-A-L-L. So Sign up for no halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break, because there is always fantasy sports going on.
Tight money, tight money. Boom. Go check out No Halftime on your iPhone apps. All right. Talking a little bit more about what game are we on, sir?
We were just Brooklyn, Houston. Yep. Anything else there? Obviously, Terrence Jones, 16
Brooklyn
minutes.
With Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is going to be out 10 weeks. Is the expectation after he undergoes surgery on Wednesday morning. Bojan Bogdanović is the guy who stepped into the starting shooting guard role. Bogdanović started the last couple games, and he only played 20 minutes last game, but on Tuesday night, he played 38 minutes. He put up 19 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 3 three-pointers. That's worth taking a flyer on. There were pretty decent expectations for this guy coming into the season.
Yeah, and this is taking minutes off of Shane Larkin's plate, who actually played pretty decently over the last week or so with his some extended minutes for him. And I believe you're saying yesterday or a couple days ago, you know, Jarrett Jack isn't a good point guard. And Shane Larkin might also not be that great of a point guard, but wouldn't you rather give Shane Larkin some run over Jarrett Jack?
So Billy King, the president GM of the Brooklyn Nets, came out on Tuesday night and he said that the team is looking at trades. So something's going to get shook up here. They don't have a draft pick for next year, so losing games doesn't help them. They just lost their rookie probably until the middle of February or the second week of February, which means he's losing tons of development time. There's just not a lot to love about where this team is. Joe Johnson has come out and said he's frustrated with where the team is, and there's been talks about him getting a buyout. Thaddeus Young seems to be trying to play his way off the team. He's got 4 double-doubles in the last 5 games, playing really well, actually. It's a weird situation there, and they seem destined for a shakeup, and just they need a point guard of the future. They need something there to be somewhat hopeful, and Shane Larkin's not an exciting point guard of the future, but at least there's a little bit more intrigue there than what Jarrett Jack offers you.
Yeah, but sadly, Jarrett Jack has been getting consistent starters minutes throughout the season. And he does at least occasionally, or more than occasionally, really fill up the right stats for you in fantasy. So he is a fantasy, he does have fantasy value for standard leagues when he can, you know, produce good assists. And like, take tonight as a grain of salt. They were playing the Houston Rockets. Almost 4 guys on the Brooklyn Nets scored almost 20 or over 20. Bogdan, as I call him, had 19. Joe Johnson had 22. Thaddeus had 20. Brooke had 24. So they're going to destroy the Houston Rockets just like everybody else does. But that's not typical stats from Joe Johnson.
Houston was actually like 4-1 with the with the Howard Capella lineup coming into tonight's game. So,
but has their defense improved over that time? I mean, I haven't looked at any advanced stats that shows that, but I haven't really looked at
it. You know what? I can't speak about it with confidence. But I thought I had read something that said that they were playing well on both sides of the court in those games. However, the expectation is, how long can you really use a throwback front court of Howard and Capella, where you're just relying almost totally on defense? How long can you really do that successfully in today's NBA? Because you look up and down the standings right now, the only team that was in the playoffs or even really in the playoff conversation playing an old school lineup was the Rockets. That's it. So,
yeah. And a lot of people went out and picked up Clint Capella once he started getting those starters minutes. And that's, while a short term, probably a good move, long term, I don't see him playing big minutes for Houston as they move forward.
Look, with Houston being what they are right now, with Capella, Mata Junis, Terrence Jones, from night to night, you're seeing a different guy step up a little bit. And in this game on Tuesday, it was none of them, really. Terrence Jones only played 16 minutes. He had 3 straight games where he was putting up good scoring numbers. He was playing a lot of minutes. And it looked like, okay, Terrence Jones might be the guy to hold. But that's the way it's going to be. Every three games, you're going to see one other guy stepping up and playing good. Tonight, it was Corey Brewer who stepped up. Because you can't really say that Capella stepped up. He played 27 minutes and was the starter, but he put up 6 points, nine rebounds, didn't get you any blocks. I just don't think it's worth owning Terrence Jones. I don't think it's worth owning Clint Capella in standard head-to-head 10 or 12 team leagues right now. And I think it's even difficult to own them in 14 team leagues. I play in a bunch of those.
Yeah. If their consistency was between 20 minutes and 30 minutes, that'd be great. But their consistency is like 30 minutes one night, 8 minutes the next night. And that's just not sustainable if you want to get value out of those guys.
If there's just little hope for one of them breaking out and be just taking a stranglehold on the job. There's always going to be somebody else digging away at their minutes. It's like the only way you're actually going to get somebody to truly start at power forward for Houston is if they go out and they trade for somebody like Markieff Morris, who they purposefully bring in to say, look, you're the kind of player we want playing this position. Go do it. And I think that's really the only way we get a power forward on the Rockets who flourishes for fantasy.
Yeah, and that'd be nice. I don't know what this the Suns would want in return for Markieff.
But I think that would end up being a three-way trade, probably. Where it
probably has to be, where Ty Lawson goes somewhere.
And yeah, exactly. Yep.
Do you think in the long term between, let's say, Terrence Jones, Monta Junis, and Capella, who has the biggest, I guess, fantasy ceiling out of those three?
Capella, just because his value. Capella could step into the starting center role if Dwight Howard were to get injured again, or if his back were to act up and he had to start missing all those back-to-backs. Then you see Capella getting a 36-minute night as the starting center, and if he only gets 26 minutes the next night, he had probably mitigated the difference by getting the bigger minutes on the night that Dwight Howard played. Like, that's the way I see Capella getting consistent value this season, is if Dwight Howard ends up having injuries. If that doesn't happen, Donatas Matajunas doesn't stretch the floor consistently. Terrence Jones doesn't stretch the floor consistently. That's what they want. They're sick of waiting for somebody to actually do that. These guys don't do it competently. Donatas Matajunas is amazing to watch down on the block in the post. It's a younger Luis Scola. You know, he's just magical down there, finding ways to contort and get buckets working in the post. But he hasn't expanded his range, and even that on the defensive side, Donatas can't stay with Paul Millsap and other guys like that. Like, there's a limited role there for all of these guys because they have limited talents.
Yeah, I think Monta Junis definitely has the least case for taking that role. Terrence Jones at least occasionally shows up and puts up some really good numbers, some really good fantasy numbers for nine cat leagues. He's able to stretch the floor sometimes. If he could stay consistent, he could probably be the best fantasy player out of those three. Though Capella does put up good blocks, and he is, with the same amount of minutes, he's pretty good per 36.
I just don't think that Terrence Jones is going to ever get 32 minutes a game for this team.
Me neither. I don't think any of them are, unless, like you said, with the Howard injury, Capella could step in there. But
So moving up to the Oklahoma City versus Memphis game, there were some injuries in this game. Marc Gasol left with an ankle sprain. Jamichael Green off the bench, he had a knee sprain. That knee sprain sounds a little bit worse. He might have to miss a little time. Memphis is, they're 12 and I believe they're 12 and 8 or 12 and 10. They're still in the playoff conversation. They're still over 500 team, but we've seen starkly when you watch this, people defend the Grizzlies, they're just packing defenders around the guys that matter. Mike Conley, they're packing guys around Marc Gasol, they're packing guys around Zach Randolph. There's no room to operate on that floor because they're not even guarding Jeff Green out at the three-point line. Teams aren't even guarding Tony Allen anywhere because they can't hit their shots from deep.
Yeah. Their starters took four three-pointers. Now, granted, they played limited minutes because this was a pretty bad blowout. And Mike Connolly had probably one of the worst games of his career. So taking the tonight's stats into factor is probably a bad idea. But you're right. They're definitely not competing for a first round playoff win. The last few years, they were able to grit their way through maybe a 1-7 round series and maybe hope for a second round series. But Smart, all the coaches in this league, whether it's by complete copycat or whether they've actually gotten smarter, know that they only really need to guard Mike Connolly and Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, and then they could just leave Tony Allen out on an island and it doesn't matter at all. And I think the Grizzlies they've done a lot with a little, and now it's time that it caught up to them.
Yeah, we were talking about it before the show how they're so good at making do with whatever they have and still being a relevant, good, competitive team every single year. But we've never seen Memphis go out and make the acquisitions they need to become a modern team. They haven't surrounded Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol with the wing players that they need. They've dipped their toes in the water with guys like Matt Barnes, Jeff Green, Vince Carter, but it's like Vince Carter is too little too late. Jeff Green has never developed into anything good. Matt Barnes is erratic. He'll have a couple of great games where he's just doing everything on both sides of the court, but the dude's old too. He's like 36, 37. Might be not that old, but he's older.
Yeah, he plays that old.
What I'm thinking might happen with this Memphis team is they might seriously consider starting Chalmers next to Mike Conley very soon, because at least Chalmers, even though he's shooting poorly from three-point land this year, just 26%, he's a career 36% three-point shooter. He's more of a threat. Teams are going to stay on him at the three-point line more so than what they do with a Tony Allen in there. Or potentially even a Courtney Lee. And Mario Chalmers is regarded in some esteem for his defense as well. He's scored in double digits in four straight games. Just keep an eye on Mario Chalmers right now in your standard leagues. And if you are desperate to drop somebody, maybe consider taking a flyer on him for a couple games. I think the shoe might be dropping here with this team.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to take a flyer on Mario Chalmers in any just standard 10-team standard leagues.
I got some 14-team leagues where I'm desperate to drop guys that yeah. I might look at grabbing him.
And, you know, like I've said before, you know, you should always have a spot on your roster to take a flyer, or at least one, if not two.
I'll tell you what, I got one league where I understand that notion, but I've got one league where it feels awesome that every time I go to add somebody off the wire, I look at my team and I go, oh, you're in first place. And you're kicking everybody's tail each week. Like,
well, that's the only exception.
It feels great not to have somebody that is worth dropping.
Is that a head-to-head league or a roto league?
It's head-to-head.
Okay. So you're not trying to gain some advantage by streaming games?
It's a Kristaps Porzingis league. It's one of those leagues where you drafted Kristaps at the end of your draft, and it's probably the league where I didn't draft Myers Leonard or something.
Yeah, I only got actually drafted Porzingis in quite a few leagues, and in quite a few of those leagues ended up dropping him either before the season started or right after his first game, which is really depressing every time I see him do anything. And I love that guy. He's great. But with Mario Chalmers, he's been inconsistent in the past, even with heavy minutes when he was playing on that Miami team. Now, granted, Wade had the ball in his hand a lot, and Mike Connolly is a little bit more forgiving. He doesn't always need the ball in his hands to produce. He does seem to give the ball up every once in a while. So he might actually work well and maybe like a weird two-guard set like they do in Phoenix. So he might be getting – you might be right about him getting an opportunity. I'm just not sure even Mario Chalmers, even with the opportunity, is going to suddenly blow up. He'll be standard league value just simply because of his steals and his at least somewhat ability to do a handful of things, but he's not going to jump into suddenly like the top 70.
Well, I mean, if he was playing, I don't know. He's getting to the line an awful lot on that team. He's not playing next to Dwayne Wade anymore, you know? Like that's significant. All right. I don't see anything else in that game that's really of much note. Maybe a little bit worried about Enos Kanter's minutes over the last five games, but
yeah, the Adams Enos Kanter thing is getting strange. Both of them Enos played 15, Collison played 15, Adams played 14. I don't know. Even in a blowout, you would expect more minutes for at least one of those guys. Are you worried about Serge Ibaka's production? I know he's playing good, but he's not playing great.
Not really. Mainly, but that's a little bit of a detachment thing too, where it's like I didn't draft Ibaka in any league, so I don't have a lot attached to concern over him. And I
yeah, see, I'm staring at him in a few leagues. He's ranked 47th on averages, which is good, but not as good as he's been in the past. He's been a top 15 player in the past, and I didn't expect him to be that good.
He's been this way all season so far, the whole 20 games or the whole 21 games. So, like, I'm just used to him being what he is right now, which is a guy who's not looking for the three-point shot. If he finds a three-point shot, he'll take it. He's came out and he said that this year, but he's not getting to the free throw line much. He's shooting like one of his worst percentages at the free throw line in a long time, in 4 years. Yeah, dude. But there are foibles about Serge Ibaka, and I feel bad for anybody who drafted him in the second, third, hell, even the fourth round right now, probably. But you mainly drafted him for his blocks, and he's still getting you 2.5 blocks a game. So,
yeah, you always were drafting him for the blocks, and his ability did not hurt you anywhere else and give you solid rebounds. He's kind of, like you said, he's kind of lacking in the everywhere else.
He could probably hit 5 3-pointers in a row, and his free throw percentage would jump up right now, too, because he's only taken so few shots there. So even True. If he's quote-unquote hurting you there with a 68% free throw percentage, he's not hurting you there volume-wise, really. He's taking 1.3 a game.
Yeah, and he's only giving you 1.2 turnovers a game. I think a lot of people maybe hoped at least I hoped he would shoot a few more threes and be able to get close to normal averages and rebounds.
He's disappointing.
And I think, we're 25% of the way through the season. You're looking at who he is. And so if you have people in your league, who really love Serge Ibaka, you might think about trying to move him to think maybe he's definitely going to come back into a top 15, top 20 type player. I don't think he's going to come back to there. I think you're looking at who he is because he's played with Durant and Westbrook, and he still looks like this. And so a lot of people thought maybe he was down last year because he didn't have those guys around and defenses could kind of focus on him. But that's just not the case. I think this is the guy who he is.
Yep. This Orlando-Denver game, Evan Fournier continues to suck it up, even though he's starting these days. He's just 1 of 7 from the field in 26 minutes. Elfrid Payton continues to play well. He put up 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. In 32 minutes, 8 of 15 from the field. He's really started to be very efficient getting to the rack ever since they made the changes to the starting lineup. So every once in a while I'll see people complaining about Payton, and I'm just like, you do realize he's completely turned around his season, right? Andrew Nicholson had a career-high 14 rebounds in 21 minutes off the bench. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Victor Oladipo played 33 minutes off the bench, put up 11 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Probably the most disappointing Oladipo game since he got moved to the bench, but he also played 33 minutes. So you're kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, Aaron, you got to be happy about that 33 minute mark. Coming off the bench, whatever, as long as he's playing the right amount of minutes.
Yep. And then a final kind of game note there for Orlando. Aaron Gordon sat out the game with a sprained ankle, and he'll likely be questionable for their next game as well.
I wish there was an opportunity for him to get heavy minutes.
You, me, and Jesus, man.
Oh, man. Just maybe they could start their own, you know, side team, and it's just Hazonia and Aaron Gordon and nobody else, and they just dunk on people. That'd be great.
The Denver Nuggets on the other side started J.J. Hickson, which is just a terrible idea. Yep. And you're happy to see them lose as a result of that. Hickson put up 10 points and 11 rebounds. Maybe Denver's trying to get in on the Markieff Morris trade, you know? Maybe that's why they're featuring J.J. Hickson. Like, here, come on, just take him. He's serviceable.
They definitely need to get rid of him, but I watched a little bit of this game tonight, and what's his name? Joich?
You're not about to say something nice about J.J. Hickson, are you?
No. Okay. I'm saying they both are pretty bad. J.J. Hickson obviously is a rebound hog, and he has been known to steal lots and lots of rebounds. So at least fantasy-wise, if he's playing 30 minutes, he will get rebounds. But the Jokic? How do you say that guy's name?
Jokic. Yo, what up, Itch?
Nikola Jokic. Looked horrible watching this game. He tried to do too much.
He's a young cat.
Right.
And he only played 17 minutes.
He only played 17 minutes, but I think there was a lot of people who were very excited about his potential, and I don't think they should be.
Yeah, if you still got Jokic on any standard leagues, you can dump him.
I mean, I'm not even watching him just in case he gets better. Like, you know, I mean, obviously if he does get crazy.
It's pretty impressive that he was how people are high on Jokic.
Yeah. And
it's pretty impressive that Malone was allowing him to start for a few games, or at least trying to allow him to start and getting that experience. It's good to see Jokic not doing good, though, right now, simply because that means that Nurkic has a greater opportunity or likelihood to step into a good role when he gets back. And LaVerne ended up, he was active for the game. He did not play Tuesday. He had an illness, the flu, they call it, you know, the whole gastroenteritis crap that they keep labeling everybody with whenever they have bubble guts.
I got the French runs, I think.
Emmanuel Mudiay. I've actually dumped him in a rotisserie league because he's just not going to shoot well enough this season, it doesn't seem.
No, and his turnovers were always a big red flag coming into the season.
Yep.
Granted, those went down, but they're still bad.
Will Barton's the most exciting thing to talk about.
Yeah, and I know Mark has a heavy disdain for Will Barton, but I've been on the Will Barton bandwagon for at least a handful of weeks here. I told people
he's just playing well, man.
He looked
like you can't really argue
well
against
in that
it.
Game, and everyone looked like crap for Denver in that game. But he looked like the only person who wanted to show up. He actually at the time. He had 16 points, 13 points at halftime, somewhere around there. And the interviewer asked, well, what made you play so well over the first half? And he's like, I just wanted to take it to him, but I missed too many chippies out there. Can't miss those chippies. Really strange interview. So I like Will Barton even more because he's maybe insane.
No, I mean, he's known as a hustle guy, but he's getting it done efficiently.
He's a great nine cat guy. He gets rebounds. Yeah. He's good at steals and blocks.
He's getting you two assists per game right now and 27 minutes per game for the season. And over his last five, he's playing 32 minutes per game. Will Barton should be owned in all standard leagues. If he hasn't been picked up yet, he should be owned in all standard leagues.
Absolutely. Are you worried that Gary Harris's return will make him a droppable player, or do you think he's got good potential for the rest of the year?
I'm worried that he'll be a little more erratic, but even in November, he averaged 13.4 points, over 2 assists a game. He's giving you half a block. He was giving you over a steal. He was giving you almost 1.5 three-pointers. He's doing all of this on great percentages, too. There's no reason not to own Will Barton right now in standard leagues. He's getting consistent value. And he was even when Gary Harris was healthy.
Yeah, even though Mark thinks he cannot play the game of basketball, he obviously is.
It's just gotten to a point where it's you can't argue with the consistency of the statistics right now. And he's carved out a role, and Mike Malone likes going to him. And also the fact that he comes off the bench, it kind of allows him the flexibility to play big minutes, whether they are getting blown out or playing well. So,
yeah, that's something you definitely want in a fantasy player, is that if it's the fourth quarter and they're up by 20 or down by 20, there he is in the game still shooting threes.
I haven't watched a lot of Will Barton, though. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's actually good at basketball as far as helping a team win, but his fantasy stats have been freaking phenomenal. So, why not use him?
Definitely. Anything else in this box score?
Not from Orlando-Denver, but we still got that Utah-Sacramento game. And Sacramento, they defeated Utah 114-106. That's nice.
Way to go, Boogie. Boogie had been kind of struggling over the last since he got back from his back injury, which, to be honest, not surprising, right? Like, if you have a back injury, that's affecting your entire shot mechanics. So,
yeah, it's going to set you back.
For him to struggle on his way back from a back injury, people should not be surprised by that. I know there's some talk about, you know, worrying about Boogie, but no, that guy's a lunatic. He'll be fine.
I'm happy that George Karl's sticking with Omri Caspi in the starting lineup right now. When he talked about with Willie Cauley-Stein being out for 4 to 6 weeks with the broken, dislocated finger, when George Karl talked about what he was going to do, and he said that, well, I'm looking at putting Caspi in there. You know, it's with Willie Cauley-Stein out, we could go with the bigger lineup with Kufis, or we could just go with our playoff lineup where you put your best five guys in there and you just go with it. I thought that was really interesting that he said having Caspi in there is his best five guys. He also said, though, George Karl did, that, and I shared this last night on the podcast, not having Caspi off the bench, available off the bench, makes him feel naked, like he doesn't have enough weapons or that he's exposed because he doesn't have competent players off the bench then.
Yeah, and it looks like Omir played 41 minutes tonight, so he played a bit on the bench rolls and with the starting lineup.
Yep. Put up 19, 10, and 4.
Yeah, that's a great line with a steal and three threes. So is Omir Caspi worth a flyer?
Yeah, Omri's worth – I mean, he probably got picked up in a lot of leagues, especially 14-team and bigger in the last couple weeks. Leagues. But 10 and 12 team leagues, you might as well add him right now. If you, I would rather have Omri Caspi over any of those buttholes from Houston, okay? Including Terrence Jones, who everybody loves so much.
I do like Terrence Jones secretly, but frozen. I haven't picked him up in any of my leagues. Terrence Jones in any of my leagues this year. He looks terrible. Especially when he got like a punctured lung. I feel like your career is over after that. Right?
No, I'm pretty sure you can come back from that. No,
it hasn't yet.
I'm not getting Rudy Gay might be like try to sell high on him. You're hearing these rumors that the Sacramento Kings want to trade Rudy Gay. He had a good night, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 three-pointer. Played 35 minutes, but Rudy Gay he was 10 of 13 from the field. He had to be so efficient in order to have a good night scoring. I don't know, man. I just don't feel like he's the same kind of aggressive player that he was last year for George Karl in the second half of the season.
Yeah, looking at his, I guess, per average.
Pull that up. I know this is gonna sound whatever. It's like send Rudy Gay out. Try to get Kristaps. Okay, just if you own Rudy Gay, try to trade for Kristaps. Try to do that.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, Rudy Gay. He's playing 3 less minutes than he did last year. He was ranked 26th overall in averages last year. He's 54th currently. This is who he is. His numbers are actually kind of similar to last year. I just think the league is number one better than it was last year. But Rudy Gay isn't going to get better. And so whatever he's doing now is either what you're going to get for the rest of the season, or he's going to start to taper off, or he's going to get hurt. He's only 29, but he has a lot of NBA miles on him.
True that. Yeah, that's just it. Looking at the current situation with Rondo having the ball in his hands a lot, that's taken away, I think, a lot of the value that Rudy had in the second half of last season. The fact that Rondo now is there as the primary facilitator, whereas last year it was just the Rudy and DeMarcus show.
They just took turns
Not the situation anymore. Rondo, I would say don't sell high on that guy. Just write it out, man. You got him so cheap. There's like no reason to sell Rondo high unless somebody's going to give you, you know.
And assists are hard to come by, and he gives you those assists along with steals, with rebounds. Sure, he's not going to score that much. He actually made a three tonight and shot well, which is rare. But it's hard to get those kind of stats.
The Rodney Hood had a good game on the Utah side of this. 17 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 5 three-pointers. 34 minutes. I've seen Rodney Hood available in leagues. I mean, not ones that I play in because I pick him up. Don't overreact to a bad couple of games from Rodney Hood. His ceiling is exceptionally high. And if Gordon Hayward were to suffer an injury or, heck, even Derek Favors, Rodney Hood would end up becoming the second option on that team, I think.
Yeah, much earlier this season, when it was kind of a crapshoot of who was going to be starting there, and they had the Burks in, they have Raul Neto in there and stuff. Hood had easily seemed to have the most fantasy talent there. Most talent, probably NBA talent and fantasy value, like ceiling, out of all four of those guys. And he seems to have moved his way. He's been playing almost 30 minutes a game on the season, so he's definitely the favorite out of those guys. But is there any one of those other guards worth having? Because I look at Trey Burke every once in a while, and then I immediately look away.
I'm taking a fresh look at these guys, because the thing is, what's frustrating about Alec Burks and Trey Burke is that I'm kind of being I tell people to hang on to Rodney Hood because I see a higher ceiling there. But Trey Burke, Alec Burks, I see a limited ceiling. They're gonna come out and they're gonna have really good games, but it's not gonna be 34 minutes every night for Trey Burke. It's not gonna be 34 minutes every night for Alec Burks. It could end up being 34 minutes every single night for Rodney Hood.
Yeah, I think he's the only one who's really earned that type of minutes per game. Though over the last 2 weeks, Alex Burke has averaged also 30 minutes per game. But what he's doing with that is he's scoring. He has 16 points. This is over his last six games. 16 points, 1.5 threes, 4.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, no steals, 0.3 blocks, 44% shooting, 70 from free throw. Those hurt. While there's scoring there, there's really not much else to talk about. I don't like to pursue anyone who's going to give me zero steals or zero blocks.
When you're talking about guard players who don't give you, he doesn't give you, he gives you 0.7 steals per game in 29 minutes a game. That's like unconscionably bad. And that's the biggest bugaboo about Alec Burks. Now, what made him somewhat unownable in the past is that he wasn't giving you consistent three-pointers. Now he's giving you over a three-pointer a game. and he's shooting them at a good clip, 40% for the season so far. Over the last five games, he's hitting 1.8 three-pointers per game, so he's starting to expand that a little bit. Alec Burks is very intriguing, but you're right. He's always had that big wart of not giving you any defensive stats consistently. And then you couple that with somewhat inconsistent production in the past. He's in a good situation. I didn't realize Burks had actually taken on. I didn't realize he had actually kept it up.
Yeah, and he's been playing more, but I think that since you didn't realize that he's been playing more, and really until looking at it, I knew I'd seen him actually get some heavy minutes, but I didn't know they were consistent because I don't really look at these guards because I just don't think they're worth my time unless something really stands out. And that's the thing with Alec Burks. He's playing 30 minutes a game, and none of his stat lines have stood out.
Here's the thing. I didn't trust that Alec Burks was going to consistently hit three-pointers this season. So when he went on that, he had that two-game fault where he kind of stumbled at the end of November 23rd and the 25th against Oklahoma City and the Clippers, and he put up 8 points in those two back-to-back games. I thought that was him reverting back to what he was last season. But he's just continued to hit three-pointers now, and it's well over a month. I mean, in November he averaged 15.6 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. He's getting you 0.8 steals, so near in that like respectable at least one steal a game mark. Hitting 38% from three. Like, Alec Burks should be owned in all standard leagues right now. He's giving you enough production.
I think he's borderline. He's got over enough points to be obviously relevant because it's hard to get points, especially off the waiver. But
he's shooting 80% from the free throw line, 42% from field goals. If you want to say the, like, you're right. He's not exciting. He's not exciting because there's no elite stat that he has.
There's nothing there other than very primary stats like points. And 1.5,
he's very marquee.
1.5 threes is good, but in today's league, 1.5 threes is just good. It's not great anymore, or it's not above average anymore. When you have Steph Curry making five a game, there's just everything he does is like he scores, and that's great.
He's very adequate. He's a very adequate player.
Sure, if you have someone who's really playing terrible on the end of your bench, he can sneak into that standard fantasy value type player.
If you've been holding on,
I would just drop him real quick.
If you've been holding on to Marcus Smart, we haven't really had updates on him and his injury. They said more than 2 weeks initially, but I don't know. I was looking into some of the. I'm not a freaking doctor, but I was looking into, you know, whatever I have Google. So I was looking into the injury, and it's like it can be a 6 to 8 week injury. 6 weeks is probably more accurate. It can be like a 6 week injury. So if that's the potential for Marcus Smart, is that he's going to continue to miss time, and you're lower in your standings. If you're in 12th or 11th or even 10th place right now in a 12-14 team league, I might dump Marcus Smart and pick up a guy like Alec Burks if he's available and say, I need to get consistent stats because I need to start winning my matchups, or at least
this is
more wins.
25% of the league is over with. I think, you know, and that's, it comes to like strategy, philosophy kind of talk, is when you're at the bottom of that league, you got to do something. And holding on to guys at this point in time is just a bad idea. You need to start looking for trades. You need to start picking up guys off the waiver and hope they get hot. You need to take a lot more flyers than someone who's in the top three.
Trevor Booker had a double-double. I don't trust his production.
Yeah, I don't like Trevor Booker. I know a lot of people do, or at least I've heard some people who do, which is really weird to hear someone say, I like Trevor Booker out loud.
He might continue to get decent rebounds, but he's not going to score much. He's lucky to get in double digit points, and then he's not going to do pretty much anything anywhere else. He's had good steals numbers this season, but I don't. And if he actually played 36 minutes a game, he could probably get you two steals a game as a power forward, which would be super dope.
Yeah, if he was up in this
36 minutes a game,
even if he was in like the 28 range, that would be great. But against Orlando, he played 15 minutes. Against Golden State, he played 18 minutes. And with
don't
Gobert,
do it, dog.
What?
Don't do it, dog. It's just not worth it, Trevor Booker.
Oh yeah, with Gobert out, he should be playing more, and he obviously isn't. So, if these minutes start upticking like you're seeing over the last two games, take a flyer on him. I don't like him.
Screw him. He's not going to be worth it.
I think
Trevor Booker's like a 16 team league player.
Yeah. The stats that he's getting right now are look nice, and they are nice, but, you know,
double doubles are fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Steal a block. It's all right.
The Pelicans might be willing to trade Ryan Anderson to the, well, maybe not to the Suns, but in order to acquire Markieff Morris from the Suns. So it'd be interesting to see Markieff on the Pelicans.
It'd be more interesting to see Ryan Anderson on the Suns.
Not for me. I want them to continue to play John Luehr, who's,
oh,
you know, guy who looks, picked up on
who looks good. I need to pay a little bit more attention to him, obviously, because he's starting to get a lot more tick. But Ryan Anderson running pick and rolls with those guys would be pretty hard. You know, it'd be a better training Fry.
Do you ever do any sports betting, like normal sports betting?
I have, yes.
Do you want to read the Bet DSI promo?
I might do that.
Because I was about to get into the final list of news for the night.
So yeah, I like sports betting. I've done some extensive sports betting in the
past. I think I'm prolific in my sports betting in like talking crap with my friends and $5 on this, $5 on that. Oh yeah, what's Darrell Arthur going to average for this season? $5 on that, you know.
Oh yeah,
we'll do tons of futures bets and all that kind of crap too.
There's definitely a way to actually bet on the actual games, which to me makes a lot of sports that I find okay a lot more exciting. And one of our sponsors today is BetDSI. BetDSI is an online sports book that focuses on their customers and most importantly on the ease and speed of payments, which is easily the most important thing when you are gambling. BetDSI is also one of the most respected online sportsbook, and they currently have an A+ sportsbook review, which is, I believe, the highest review you can possibly get. BetDSI offers a wide range of sports, everything from major U.S. sports like NBA and NFL to international sports like rugby and soccer. I do follow the Premier League, and if I bet on my team in the Premier League, the Everton Football Club, I would be losing money. So I'm glad I have not bet on them. They even offer politics, which is really silly.
That is cool that you can bet on politics. Apparently, though, you shouldn't try to bet on Bernie Sanders winning the Time Man of the Year vote.
That's probably a bad idea. Do you have a soccer team you follow?
My roommate follows Liverpool, so I think I have to follow them.
They are the arch rivals of Everton. So,
wait,
you know, screw Liverpool.
Wait, isn't Liverpool? Is it? I might be getting confused. Who's the team that just got Klopp? Klopp, make it Klopp. Klopp, make it Klopp.
That's Jurgen Klopp. Liverpool. That's Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool. Yeah, Jurgen Klopp. Yeah, that's my boy.
Wow. Well, they are the longest rivalry in the history of English Premier League.
Interesting.
And their stadiums are like three blocks away from each other, and there's a lot of animosity. And luckily, I'm American, and I don't have to deal with much of that because I just follow them from here.
So, what's the best part of BetDSI, though?
Well, I'd say probably the best part of DSI is when you listen to this podcast, because you're listening to this podcast, you're going to get a free bonus. When you sign up at BetDSI, just go to BetDSI.com, use the offer code HOOPS10, and they're going to give you free $10, a free $10 that you can play with in a couple of hours. Why would you not want free money to bet on sports? That's a really hot deal. That offer code is HOOPS, H-O-O-P-S, 10. Lastly, BetDSI and I want to remind you that gambling is a form of entertainment and should only be done responsibly. In fact, BetDSI helps you be responsible by providing an easy way to track your activity and your results. If you feel you have a problem with gambling addiction, please contact Responsible Gaming for assistance. It's very important that if you think you have a gambling problem, definitely contact Responsible Gaming for assistance, because that is a very important thing. We don't want you losing your house over a silly game.
Tight money.
Cool. So what else you got for us tonight?
Marcin Gortat's supposed to return on Wednesday. He missed the last three games for the Wizards, dealing with a personal issue back in his homeland of Poland. Luol Deng will likely be back tomorrow after missing, I think, like seven games or something with a hamstring injury. Kawhi Leonard is listed as questionable for Wednesday's game with an illness, that gastroenteritis. But that held him out of the Philadelphia game. That held him out of both Philadelphia games about a month and a half apart from each other. So I would bet on Kawhi playing. Not really worried about that. Leandro Barbosa missed Tuesday's game with an illness.
A lot of illness going around. Do you think they all got that E. coli Chipotle outbreak?
Probably. They were probably had all these. I think the media room where the players often will go in and steal food from is probably being catered by Chipotle. This is just kind of an extrapolation of the Lakers crap from yesterday. Byron Scott came out and said over the next however long that these guys are coming off the bench, the next 5 to 10 games or whatever, they're going to play about 20 to 25 minutes each night. If you can hold on to D'Angelo Russell, I think you should. Probably Julius Randle too. I mean, Julius Randle put up 15-11 last night, so why not?
I'd rather hold on to Julius Randle than D'Angelo Russell. I don't think D'Angelo Russell's
that great. I completely disagree with you.
I just don't think D'Angelo Russell's that great. I mean, he's got potential, and it could be completely stifled by the fact that Kobe is taking 27 shots a game. And so I can believe that I could be wrong on this. It's just that watching him play over those first couple weeks wasn't impressive. But
I'm gonna send you a no.
Playing better, so
I'm gonna send you a no halftime D'Angelo Russell versus Julius Randle thing, and I also want to make a side bet.
All right.
And we'll agree off air on the it'll probably just be like an electronic handshake or something. But I would bet that over the next 5 to 10 games, D'Angelo Russell has at least 2 double-digit assist games. Are you willing to take that bet?
I think you broke up there on the stipulation.
I'm thinking he. Oh, I didn't even say the stipulations yet.
Or the what you thought Russell was going to do.
Oh, he'll get 2 double-digit assist games over the next 10 games. However long he's coming off the bench. So if he only comes off the bench for 5 games, he'll get 2 double-digit assist games off the bench for the next 5 to 10 games.
Yeah, I would take that bet. Okay. I don't think he's that good. I just don't. I don't think he's that good. I've seen him watching him play. He looked like he was completely lost, like a rookie, and he should look like a rookie. I'm not saying that he's going to be bad for the rest of his career. He's 19 years old. And I do actually like him coming off the bench a little more because it gets him away from Kobe. But that team is obviously trying to keep their draft pick. They do not want to win any basketball games, and they probably won't.
He has not had a double-digit assist game since the preseason when he put up 11 assists in 18 minutes against it was against the European team that they played against too.
Yeah, he's not going to get a double.
It is a terrible bet I'm making.
Multiple. I think it's a two. And
it's a terrible bet I'm making. But I'm gonna win it.
We'll see. Yeah, I would happily take that bet because I think if Russell even starts to play well, he will suddenly find himself on the bench because they are trying to lose these games.
So, Mike, do you have any other notes for the night?
No, not really. It was it's been an interesting season so far, with minutes down on a lot of people who usually get starting minutes. It's been an interesting season so far, this first quarter of the season.
Yep, and a lot of coaches will use the first 20 games as kind of a benchmark for their team too, where they're just trying to figure out who they're going to be this season. And then once they get past this first 20-game threshold, they'll completely change gears. Or they'll say, all right, I know who my team is now. We're going to go this direction, and we're going to try this out for another contingent of 5 to 10 games, which is kind of what you're seeing Byron Scott do right now. He's saying, I'm going to try this for 5 to 10 games, then I'm going to try this, then I'm going to try this, until they figure it out, if they continue to struggle. And then if a team actually finds a groove, they usually just stick to that and they'll continue to do that. But anyways,
you've seen Orlando play with their rotations. The Wolves sadly play with their rotations, even though Towns is amazing.
Scott Skiles came out and said he acknowledged that, hey, look, just because we changed the lineup doesn't mean that that's the reason we started winning games, because they went home when he changed the lineup for that whole thing with bringing all the deep off the bench. They were going home. They were going to have a 3-game homestand. Like, oh, hey, guess when you usually win your games? At home. So, whatever. I don't really know what I meant by that. I just kind of wanted to share that. Skiles.
I like Skiles.
I like hearing it when a coach acknowledges the reality of a situation where it's like, he's not sitting there saying like, oh, yeah, I solved the damn puzzle, you know? I'm the Rubik's Cube master of basketball. But
if anyone was going to be the biggest cynic in the room, it's going to be either Skiles or Tibbs. I assume they would have just a negative off until their heads exploded.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I like Skiles as a real coach. Fantasy-wise, he is horrible. But at least he's a decent real coach.
Holla. All right, cool. I don't really have anything else. Are there any Star Trek The Next Generation thoughts that you wanted to share with me, Mike?
Ooh, unlike Daniel yesterday, I do like Star Trek The Next Generation. I think it's a great show, and people should go watch it on Netflix. I mean, you have Netflix. You have time. Just start watching it. It's really not that nerdy, and it sounds
not all,
really
not all
nerdy.
People have time, so don't make people feel bad if they don't
That's
have
true.
Time.
If you don't have time, I'm
we
sorry.
Totally understand.
People are
but
busy.
Maybe you could bring your laptop into your bed with you and fall asleep while watching it. It's a pretty, relaxing show.
To the soothing sounds of Data talking to you as an android. You're right about that. It's morality plays. It's just philosophical stuff.
Guttural tones of Worf and his Klingon heritage to the dulcet tones of Commander Riker and his seemingly
sexy.
his genderless sexuality.
It's kind of he's the one who's always swooping up the ladies.
Dude, ladies love Riker, man.
Oh my god, yeah. But actually, secretly, the ladies love Picard and that bald head of his.
Everybody loves Picard, but Picard's like he's unattainable, you know? He's almost like a...
He never settled down. He's always busy.
He's married to the job, bro.
Yeah, he's pursuing his taste in archaeology and flute playing. He's got his own thing going. He doesn't have time for the ladies.
You've watched all 7 seasons, I see.
I definitely have watched. It's been a while, actually. I should rewatch them, but
You've had strange dreams on a holodeck.
I wish. I've had a, when I was a kid, there was nothing more that I wanted than the holodeck. That'd have been the best, simply the best thing. I feel so, like maybe in our lifetime,
so
holodeck, but at least something that plugs into your head.
I love how Star Trek will, they'll do the sexual metaphors or the euphemisms or whatever. And there's this one episode where Famke Janssen, former Bond chick, Jean Grey from the first few X-Men movies, Phoenix, she's in this episode and she's this object of desire who blah, 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 due to her alien physiology, she can just like imprint on dudes and everybody wants to be with her and everybody's attracted to her and she blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Riker resists her charms, even though she lays one on him. And then as he leaves and walks away from her, he calls to the bridge and he says, "Hey, bridge, this is Commander Riker. I'm going to be in Holodeck 4 for a while." And then they cut to the next scene. Huh.
I mean, you know that's what everyone was doing in the holodeck, is just banging anything and everything they possibly could. The guy who had the worst job in the whole Enterprise is the mop guy for the holodeck.
If you could reproduce one NBA player's body on the holodeck so that you could examine its beautifulness, who would it be?
Wow, that's a very strange and tough question.
No. Physiologically, like...
Would
you want to see maybe like what does Steph Curry's thighs look like? You know,
I'm gonna go with Scottie Pippen for both reasons, for physiological reasons, and for the fact that Madonna preferred him over Michael Jordan, and there's a very specific reason why.
Well, hello. Now you got me wanting to do comparisons. I know where Greg Oden stands in that, but anyways, I think we're going down a deep hole.
Yeah, this might be the end of the podcast. This all officially been banned from iTunes.
Star Trek: The Sex Generation.
There is a new Star Trek allegedly in the works, a TV series.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, CBS just announced it a few days ago, which I haven't watched Star Trek in ages, but it could be interesting. If they do it right, if they make today's problems part of the show, which is what the old Star Trek does, or Next Generation does anyway.
I've actually got some ideas for like Star Trek shows. I think someday you might see me as like an assistant producer on some show.
Just start tweeting at them all your ideas, maybe get it picked up.
I don't think I'm going to tweet out my ideas, but I'm kind of legit being honest here, and I got some dope ideas. If off the podcast, I might share them with you.
Ooh. Or do they all revolve around Wesley?
They all revolve around the hollow. Actually, you know what? Wesley would be a big part of it. But anyways.
Doesn't he become like some sort of sentient like being? He's always a sentient being, but like, does he become some superpower near the end? I forget that part.
They allude to it, but he doesn't ever actually fully come to realize things. So now I wonder, they have like Star Trek: The Next Generation comic books and other things and novels and stuff that kind of expand the universe.
Oh yeah, I haven't dived into that.
I'm not into that either.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that they may have examined that growth in Wesley. I don't really want to like say it all because, you know, spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah. Who knows?
Anyways, all right. Hey, you wanna get us out of here?
We had to get this podcast off the rails a little bit, right?
Oh yeah. We had to talk Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Well, where can we find you, Kyle? I know we can find you on Basketball Monster.
Oh hey, thanks, Mike. I'm Kyle McEwen. I work for BasketballMonsters.com. Come sign up and you know use our statistics and our tools for daily year-long leagues. Come join our forums, chat with us, figure out how to that's probably the coolest thing about Basketball Monster is like there's a great community on there of people who when somebody new joins the site and they're like, hey, what the hell do I do here? How do I use it? I'm starting to get really into DFS. How do I start building things? How do I start playing it in an intelligent way? Dudes are there to help. Like, and it's not, I don't know, man. It's cool. It's dope.
Basketball Monster has been around for a long time. I always use it for my rank when I look at rankings based on nine cat stats, because I play a lot of nine cat roto. But that tool is great. Just the ranking tool alone is great.
Yep, and there's like schedule tools and stuff too, where if you sync up your leagues, it'll bring in your roster, and then when you're looking at the schedule for the week ahead, it'll have the list of all the players from the teams who are available in your league. So like if you're looking at, okay, here's all the four game teams, who's available for these four game teams who I could maybe use as stream options for this week in my weekly leagues, or you can also on that same page see what days they play too. So you can see, oh, okay, I've got a bunch of teams playing this day. They play on an off day or, you know, a low set of games. So I know I'll be able to get them in my daily lineup league throughout the week, at least for a couple of games as a stream option. So it's just cool to have so much information on singular pages throughout the site, and you can examine your team from a lot of different perspectives, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Kyle McEwen, you can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. And this is my last night on the podcast here for a while, so thank you so much for letting me come back on here, Mark. Mike, super dope doing a podcast with you for the first time, you handsome devil.
Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting your acquaintance, I guess. This is great. And obviously, due to popular demand, the fans want more Kyle involved with the podcast, I hear.
It's just because I bring back the intro and outro music, which is Happiness is All the Rage by The Promise Ring, and you can find their music on jadetree.com.
Great. Thanks, Kyle. I'm sure you'll be back sooner than later. I am your guest host, Mike Catron. You can find me at Watch the Boxes on Twitter and watchtheboxes.com. Or you can find me lurking around the Reddit Fantasy Basketball subreddit. So thanks for joining us on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Mark will be back tomorrow with probably more box scores or maybe some daily fantasy stuff. So thanks for joining us. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage.